Galera, bem-vindos ao show!
Aprê!
Holy fucking shit, people. Welcome. Holy fucking shit.
You came on with a more intense energy than I was ready for.
Holy fucking shit. DMX died today, man. That's sad. R.I.P. DMX. I hope you like that touching little tribute we just had by the long-lost band Get Fisted Quick. What was up with that band? They're a bunch of assholes. We scheduled them for at least 4 different shows, and we had to pay them in advance each time. And, like, they got in accidents where half the members died on the way every time.
It was all a con.
I don't know if it was a con. They were dead. There's tombstones.
You can fake your own death.
This band went through great lengths to fake their deaths, but they did that DMX cover back. Actually, that cover of that song came out a couple years before the real version came out, so they were ahead of their time.
But Time Machine, maybe?
Maybe they had Trusty Rusty.
I was just going to say.
They took the keys. Trusty Rusty. That's how they kept going back and re-dying, too.
I think we're unraveling a mystery.
This whole episode is just full of dead people.
See, I know zero.
Oh, you don't know anything we're talking about?
No, you kind of just drive-by told me, but you were not, I don't know.
There are no drive-bys. Drive-by Bukkake. That's a good band. Go listen to Drive-By Bukkake. I'm not lying to you. That's a real band. They're from Boston, I believe. Salem or some shit. This week, we are discussing tragic concerts. Concerts where things just go bad. And we broke it into a 2-part episode because there's so many. So,
which is a bit unnerving.
Yes. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed last week when we did the first episode of what we've been watching, a more laid-back sort of spin-off.
That was nice.
It was nice.
More chill.
Yeah. Now, out of all of the shit that the current COVID-19 pandemic took away from us all, I feel that live music is across the board one of the most missed things.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much by me.
By me, too. I can't wait. I love that the all these shows are being announced and everything. I don't know if it's safe, but fucking, I'm going.
I'm hoping for the best, prepared for the worst, so that I don't feel disappointed. Because I'm just like, whatever. When it happens, and I'm just going to be cool and happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just something about live music that's just so freeing and optimistic and brings us all together. You make great memories.
Well, I'm very much a, like, introvert, extrovert. And I like going to shows because I like to be around a lot of people, but then nobody talks to me. So I can just, like, I get to be with a crowd of people, but they leave me alone.
Yeah, but you're all there for the same thing.
Yeah.
You're all vibing,
yeah.
You know?
No, like, I like to be with a bunch of people. I just don't want to have to talk to them.
Yeah, music's so loud. They don't care.
So it's just nice to just be near people.
Yeah. And just as we're all getting hope back that we'll be attending live events soon, I decided it would be a good idea to remind everyone just how horrible things can go at a show. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be covering fires, shootings, drug overdoses, and more as we explore some of the most tragic concerts in history.
Wow.
Sad, terrifying stuff. These episodes aren't even going to be funny. Because this is not a laughing matter, folks. It scares me.
It's
because
it's a subject, like, you go to a lot of shows.
Yeah.
So it's something that you have to be, like, aware of.
There's some events, one we'll talk about in this episode and one more in the next episode, but that, like, I really saw change shows.
Things,
like,
yeah.
Change procedures and requirements and whatnot.
I have to say, it's very unnerving as, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just, like, really non-threatening, but I very rarely get searched. Great. Like, kind of just, I mean, I can, a lot of times, they just wave me past.
Yeah. It feels like the older I get, the less of a threat they think I am.
That's been a pretty, like, consistent thing for me. If they're just, but it's, I don't know, they're like, this girl's not gonna do anything, but like, I could be the most dangerous one.
Don't say that. She's not dangerous at all. Let us into the shows.
They can let me in. They just don't search like anything.
Yeah, well, they're probably afraid of getting a lawsuit.
I get searched
They don't want to Me Too you.
Every, like...
God damn.
Every
they need that.
Broadway performance I've been to has been, like, a very excessive, like, they search your purse, they search your bot, like, they pat you down. It's been, like, way more thorough than any show I've ever been to.
Well, you know, shit can pop off on Broadway.
I don't know, I think you're more likely to probably get shot at, like, a concert than you are at, like, Lion King.
Well, yeah, we're gonna talk about some people getting shot at concerts, unfortunately.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, it's great. Great stuff
here.
Much oh, yeah.
safer. I felt I, much I, safer at
I still
Broadway
don't know...
Show.
I have no idea why I picked this subject. This isn't the subject we were going to do this week. It's something that's been on my mind. I thought it would make an interesting subject than the thing we were going to do. We're putting off for a couple of weeks to make a better episode out of it. And so I decided to pull this one out of the hat. And I don't even like it. I don't like these stories. They make me sad.
What's kind of funny is that you usually, when you're, like, doing things and you're writing things, and you're like, you talk about it a lot, but this one you've just been straight up just silent.
Yeah, just typing every day.
Like, just keeping it to yourself completely, yeah. Which I know, when things bother you the most, they go inside.
Yes. Well, now I'll spill them out for our listeners.
And get real uncomfortable.
I did just spill just a little bit of beer on my lovely new Devolution Podcast sweatshirt that you can pick up at spreadshirts.com/devolutionpodcast. So go pick up some merch.
And
$5 off every item this purchase this month, that being April of 2021, will go towards prevention of child abuse to Prevent Child Abuse America, the organization. So definitely go pick up some merch. If not to help support me, help support the little Timmies and Tammies out there that don't have the right go of it. All right. So let's get into this shit.
Okay.
All right. We will begin, in fact, with the deadliest event that we'll be covering over this two-parter, with a story that brings us back to early World War II era Boston with the Coconut Grove Inferno. Oh, yeah. The Coconut Grove. That sounds like a groovy place, man.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah.
The Grove, as it was known around town, opened up in the late 1920s. It changed hands a few times over its first decade in operation and apparently had some pretty major ties to the Mafia.
Okay.
By 1942, it was under the ownership of a fellow named Barney Wolanski. How's that for a fucking name?
That is a name.
Hey, fucking Bonnie Wolanski down there at the Grove. Fucking. A shady yet stern businessman. When he purchased the club, he didn't view the emergency exits for what they were. No. In his mind, they were a way for patrons to ditch out of the club without paying the tab. So we had many of them locked, blocked, or boarded up. Decision that would ultimately land his ass in the slammer.
That feels very like Titanic tragedy of like, we don't need it.
Don't worry about
it. We won't
need it. Why would anyone ever need to run out that door? Well, we'll tell you, Barney. On the evening of November 28th, 1942, during the first Thanksgiving weekend of the war, the club was packed with double the legal capacity, around 10:15, while a young pianist and singer, Goody Goodell, was performing on a rotating stage surrounded by artificial palm trees. A young man at a table unscrewed a light bulb to allow for some privacy for himself and his date. They were necking, I believe, you know.
Yes, very
maybe,
scandalous.
Possibly finger banging and necking. This is, that's... I made that the speculation on my part. So it was dim over in the corner, and a young little Stanley Tomaszewski was ordered to replace the bulb. He was a little, like, 17-year-old busboy. And he went over there, and he couldn't see because there was no light bulb.
Yeah.
So he lit a match to shed some light on
How
the situation.
Dark? Like...
It was dim. He needed to shed a little light on the situation. So little Stan lit up a match. He was, like, cleared of... It's kind of weird what happened. I mean, from here on, shit gets wild.
Okay,
so
I'm ready.
They say he extinguished the match, but then within seconds of the match being lit and the light bulb being twisted, something went bad in that corner because within seconds of that, one of the fake palm trees was engulfed in flames.
Oh, and I can imagine in, like, the 40s... what materials a fake palm tree would be made of and how highly flammable.
Yeah, and I also read something that all the AC, I don't think the AC was really working in November, but it was still in running throughout the system of the place, was using like a flammable gas.
I think because everything
Freon was in low supply at the time, probably due to the war or some shit.
Well, there was all like the rationing.
Yeah.
I think everything from like 19... like 70s back was just extremely
everything was flammable.
Everything. Like it all would just light on fire.
Even like
very
the
fast.
Dogs and cats were flammable. Everything.
Now, clothes.
This next piece I'm going to read, I try not to do this often. I try to rewrite after researching the events and write my own version. But this is what I read online, and I liked just this description of it. I couldn't have wrote it better, and it's pretty intense. So I'm just going to read what I found online here, read it for y'all. Here we go. Despite waiters' efforts to douse the fire with water, it spread along the fronds of the palm tree. In a final desperate attempt to separate the burning fronds from the fabric-covered false ceiling, the decoration was pulled away from the corner, taking with it a triangular plywood panel at the ceiling level and opening the enclosed space with the false ceiling. Coincidentally or not, that was the point at which the fire spread to the false ceiling, which burned rapidly, showering patrons with sparks and burning shreds of fabric.
That sounds like a good time.
Oh, yes. Flames raced up the stairway to the main level, burning the hair of patrons fleeing up the stairs. A fireball burst through the front entry and spread through the remaining club areas, through the adjacent caricature bar, down a corridor to the Broadway lounge and across a central restaurant and dance floor as an orchestra was beginning its evening show. Flames raced faster than patrons could move, followed by thick clouds of smoke. Within 5 minutes, flames and smoke had spread to the entire nightclub. Some patrons were instantly overcome by smoke as they sat in their seats. Others crawled through smoky darkness trying to find exits, but all but one were blocked. Only one exit, not fucking blocked.
And if it was over capacity...
Oh, yes.
That's like...
Double
capacity. Double dangerous.
Yeah. Many patrons attempted to exit through the main entrance the same way they had entered. The building's main entrance was a single revolving door, which was rendered useless as the crowd stampeded in panic. Bodies piled up behind both sides of the revolving door, jamming it until it broke. The oxygen-hungry fire then leapt through the breach, incinerating whoever was left alive in the pile.
Well, that sounds like horrific.
Yes. Firemen had to douse the flames to approach the door later after fire laws had tightened. That's why there's always doors on, like a door you can just open on both sides of any revolving door because of this fire.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yes. So that's about it. People had such extreme heat in their lungs that when they got outside and breathed in the cold air, they just dropped dead like flies.
Oh, that sounds just horrible.
They found many bodies just in their seats with their drinks in their hands. The flames just took them so fast that they were just frozen.
Kind of like what I was telling you about Pompeii. How like
down in Pompeii.
How some of the people just... It was, like, really insane.
Was there a band playing at the time? Because we could put that in the next episode. The Pompeii Jam Fest.
People were just doing their...
Oh, shit, a volcano!
But it was just because, like, the heat and, like, ash and everything was so fast, it just, like, killed people just instantly.
Oh.
Like, most of the people were dead before any lava came. So it's kind of like that same idea of just, like, that extreme... Like, smoke and smoking. Ash and
fire.
Heat,
ash.
Like, just takes you out faster just than the actual, like, hot fire can.
Just levels you, that hot fire. So after the flames burned, the final death count was 492.
That's a lot of people.
With another 130 facing a variety of injuries, including burns and smoke inhalation, you know.
And then all the chemicals that was, like, in everything.
Yeah.
It's probably... awful.
Luckily, though, in some sense, all of the hospitals nearby were, like, well-prepared and had been running drills on, like, mass...
Oh, for war
for
stuff.
War attacks on the East Coast. You know, that they assumed that possibly Boston would be attacked.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's probably some conspiracy... I'm sure there's a conspiracy theory in this.
Good deep dive. How did you come across this?
I looked up tragic concerts in history.
And that just...
And I got to list some of them. I mean, not to say some weren't interesting, because they all, you know... Well, but this one jumped out. I was like, holy fuck, this is wild.
Tend to the bigger bang here.
Yeah, and I had never heard of this.
No, all the rest I had not heard of
most of the others I'd heard of. And there's plenty. There's a lot of, like, old school stuff, like, back in... Well, I don't even... Like, way back when, and, like, theaters collapsing, and more fires. There's a lot of fire. So make sure you don't wear flammable clothes when you go to a show anymore. Just
view the exits.
Yeah, know where you're going.
Take a moment.
Walk by them. Make sure you give them a little nudge. Make sure there's nothing
walk
fucking
around the
blocking
building.
Them.
Do full inspection.
Yes. Barney was charged and found guilty of 19 counts of manslaughter and served 4 years in prison.
Only 19?
Yes, because they so many people died, they just picked 19 random people to represent the mass.
I mean,
of
really,
dead.
I feel like you really just need one, but I feel like saying, like, the 400 and, what, 92?
Yeah.
That's, like, a bigger, like, imagine reading that in a newspaper being, like, man gets charged for 492 counts of manslaughter. That's, like, that's the headline.
Yeah. And he only served 4 years because someone he was pretty well connected with became like the mayor while he was in prison, and he was dying. He died only 9 weeks after being released, and in his final interview, he said, "I died the same night all of those people did."
Yeah, it's
like,
easy to
no,
say
he didn't.
Now.
He died like 5 years later, asshole.
You acted like a sleazy sleazeball,
Sleazerton Barney. So that is the story of the Cocoa Nut Grove Inferno.
I feel like that's like a song.
It could be like that's like a surf rock song. Coconut Grove Inferno.
It's like that, like the like horror surf music.
Yeah, I love that shit. All right, we got our first song break for the episode. We have As Told by the Butcher out of Maine. Go check them out. They have a 3-song EP out on Spotify right now that this song is from. The tune is called Glass Houses. It has been added to the Devolution Podcast Tunes playlist. That is a playlist available on Spotify that has tons of music from all sorts of bands that we've featured on the podcast so far. And there's a ton of good shit on there. Right?
Right.
Right. All right.
A ton.
Yes, a ton. So go check out As Told by the Butcher. This is Glass Houses. They're a new band made up of a bunch of dudes that have been in other bands around Maine for a long time. So this is their new project. Check it out, and we'll be back with more sad concert situations.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Water, like a human, I fucked up them. Face out their blood. What were you saying?
Nothing. I was about to admit a guilty pleasure, but I'm not gonna.
Please tell me your guilty pleasure.
Not on microphone.
I'll pause.
Yeah. No, you won't.
What is it? That song?
Nope.
I'm going down. We met on Tinder. Is Tinder your guilty pleasure?
No.
I'd have to say, huh. That would be a guilty pleasure.
Nope.
That's... I mean, whatever. You can go do some swiping if you need to. Fuck it.
No, I don't feel
man.
I need to.
Hey, it's the 90s, man. Everything's fluid. Like, ice is fluid.
You're hoping someone else is gonna, like, take me?
Someone take her off my hands.
You would cry yourself to sleep every night.
I chased the milkman out of town, and now I don't know what to do. All right. You guys ready to go? Oh, I want to go to a concert. Oh, no, people die at concerts all the time.
You're really, like, just rubbing salt in the wound.
You guys have a wound? Let me pour the fact that people die at concerts all the time.
You haven't even been able to see one in over a year.
They don't die all the time. These are just sometimes.
Not all the time.
I've been to many.
So far, so good.
I think I was at, like, maybe two where someone died. I saw a man, I'm pretty sure he was overdosing. I don't know. And I don't think Narcan was around yet. So that man might have died. Metal
Fest.
I mean,
there is definitely a possibility that people have died after.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've seen some wild ass fights and pits and stuff. So
remember when we saw that guy get dragged out and beat up by security?
Oh, at the daughter show in Providence? Yeah, that
guy
got roughed up.
Wild.
Yeah, it was wild.
They brought him into, like, the back room, and then people were trying to film, and they kept shutting the door. Like,
yeah,
they wanted
else.
To mess this man up.
They did.
I want to know what he did.
He misbehaved. All right. You ready to talk about these stories?
Yes.
I want to go to bed.
Me too.
Okay. Now on to April 5th, 1981. Between sets during a show in L.A., co-vocalist of the blues rock band Canned Heat, Bob the Bear Height.
Oh.
Bob the Bear. Rawr. a wild man by all accounts that I read.
If your name is Bob the Bear, you better be wild.
Yeah, he was a big man. He just seemed like he...
Yeah, I would hope he wasn't like 5 feet and like 98 pounds.
Yeah, that would have been funny. Little scrawny dude. Hi, I'm Bob the
Tiny.
Bear. Yeah, but he had, like, good blues voice. That band Canned Heat's pretty cool. They were one of the, I think, the opener of Woodstock.
I haven't heard anything.
Like they got that. Some alright, too. Some old hippie blues, you know? Good stuff. But anyway, he was walking backstage after their first set, and a fan handed him a vial that Bob assumed was full of cocaine. And while backstage, he snorted the entire contents of the vial. He then smiled while boasting, "This shit is even going to get me high," just before collapsing to the floor.
I was going to say, famous last words.
Yes. The band, they were used to Bob just hitting the deck like this, apparently. They walked around him and onto the stage and began jamming on their second set. A roadie quickly realized that something was wrong, and they loaded Bob into the van and headed towards his home that was not far away. He died in his own bed while the band played on just miles away.
They didn't get him to a hospital?
No, that's what I thought was weird. They just brought him to, like, as junkie stuff. You know, that's
yeah,
drug.
Yeah, that is...
That's drug stuff. Yeah. You don't go to the hospital. You're in drugs. Especially back then. You know?
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I don't care... I will bring you to the hospital. You fight me. Fight me.
You can't fight me because you're overdosing. Bring you
I will
hospital.
Take you to a hospital.
Bob died because what was in the vial turned out to actually be heroin.
Don't just snort drugs that are just handed to you by strangers.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, I feel like, common sense, like... And if you're famous, don't, like, eat anything that somebody has just given you. I mean, really don't eat anything strangers give you. Like, homemade things.
Don't eat food people give you?
No, like...
I'm never eating again.
If a stranger gives you a cake... that they made.
Yeah.
Don't eat it.
Might have weed in it, though.
I feel like if a stranger's going to give you a weed cake, they're going to tell you it's a weed cake.
Well, of course that's what they would tell you.
Yeah, that's what they tell you.
Well,
if anybody wants to poison Ryan, apparently make him a weed cake.
Yeah, because I'm going to eat it.
With, like, arsenic.
You could say, this is a poisoned weed cake, and I'd be like, huh.
You would definitely weigh out your options. Like,
do you have any milk? I heard milk offsets poison.
How
all poison.
Strong?
How strong?
A weed cake is this?
Yeah. How strong is the poison? How strong is the weed aspect?
Will the poison kill me quick, or will I get to enjoy the high?
Yeah. These are all reasonable questions when being handed fucking.
Just don't do drugs that strangers hand you, and don't eat food that strangers hand
don't
you.
Don't do strange food drugs.
Don't from trust strangers. That's the first thing they teach you in your child. Don't trust strangers.
I don't trust anybody.
Danger.
Trust no one. That's what Mulder taught me.
Also had a kick in a door like a champion.
I'm going to start kicking in more doors. Well, the
it
thing
is not that easy.
The thing is, when you kick in doors, people, you got to start paying for doors. People like, and I don't really have a reason. I can't just show up to work and be like, guess what, motherfuckers? Kick in the door.
X-Files gave me false expectations of how easy it is to kick in a door.
I mean, I could try. I could go kick. Nope. I'm looking at a door right now that I can go kick. I can kick it out. It's easier to kick in. Either way.
That one you'd have to kick in.
I can just go kick it
a bunch
of
times. You gotta go on the other side.
I'll kick it from this side or that side.
We digress.
We digress.
debate door kicking all night here.
Yes. Yo, I could, any door I see, I size it up. I could kick that motherfucker in right there. No problem. He doesn't just kick them in, though. He busts right through them with the shoulder fucking thrust.
Yeah, he like gets, it's like full, like he's made of titanium.
Yeah, but he's just David Duchovny, the weaselly little sex addict.
I hope he writes a book and he names it that.
I'm just going to write a book and name it that. David Duchovny, the weaselly little sex addict. An unauthorized biography.
The cover will just be the picture of him with like the tea kettle.
Yeah.
If no one knows what that is, look it up.
David, I can't remember what it is. You have to look it up and show me.
Okay, I'll show you.
I remember it existing, but I don't know what it is. Okay, now we head into a truly heartbreaking story. I mean, you know, Bob the Bear is a sad story.
That is sad. You know. But I mean, that's also a little
like Bob, like, pay the fuck attention, Bob. Come on, man. But now
at least ask. Be like, what's
well, at least ask, you know.
What is it?
Yeah, I mean, he had demons and he tried to snort them away. And
apparently.
It didn't work. Or it did, I guess. I don't know.
I guess it depends on what you're trying to accomplish.
All right. Now we're on to the onstage assassination of a metal god. Speaking, of course, of the great Dimebag Darrell Abbott. Man, this whole thing is just so sad.
It's
you know, even if you're not a Pantera fan or whatever, like, just the whole story is sad as fuck. And now we're going to tell it. On December 8th, 2004. Oh, okay, I'm seeing the David Duchovny teapot photo now. That might have to be the little picture we use for the description of the show. No one will get it. It'll be like, disastrous what? Concerts.
What?
Trust no one. That's the moral of everything.
I mean, there's a lot to use here, too.
Yes. On December 8th, 2004, Dimebag and his brother Vinnie Paul, both obviously from the legendary metal band Pantera, were in Columbus, Ohio to play a show with their new band Damage Plan at the Alrosa Villa nightclub. Just seconds into the first song of the set, the song called Breathing New Life... That's a little, I don't like that.
Little foreshadow.
Yeah. But I mean, like, set this up. You're backstage, you're chilling, you know, like he's done thousands of times before, you know, that's his thing. That was his life. He's there with his brother. His brother gets behind the drum set. Fucking Dimebag walks up on stage. He's got his guitar. He starts shredding. And just not even a minute into the song, he is shot from behind several times. By the total shithead Nathan Gale. Well, and he died instantly.
You're not ever expecting that something that would happen to you.
No.
So you're just like, you would be caught just 100% off guard. And that's, like, I mean, it's, everything about it is tragic.
Yes.
But it's just, like, the idea that, like, you have literally no comprehension of something like that happening.
No.
That, and then it happens.
Yes.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah, Dime fell to the ground dead. You know, the band security team, they tackled the dude to the ground while other members of the team, they dragged Vinny and the rest of the band off of the stage. You've got Vinny Paul outside by the tour buses just fucking kicking and screaming at his staff. He doesn't know, you know, trying to get by everybody. And they won't let him into the club.
So much confusion. And, I mean, in those scenarios, like, people tend to not process that somebody has died.
Yeah.
Like, you're just, like, you have such a intense trauma response.
Yeah. Three others were killed in the struggle to disarm Gale, and thankfully a police officer, James Neigmeyer, made his way to the horrific scene and ended the mayhem with a single shotgun round to the head of Nathan Gale. This event shook the metal and live music world to the core. And this is when I specifically remember, like, show security got way tighter after this. Well, like, they were really searching people down when you went to a show.
No one should
after
this. Be able to just walk up to a musician and shoot them.
Yeah, like, I believe the story goes he grabbed, like, a hostage from backstage and made his way to the stage that way. And he just came from the back of the stage. And, like, I mean, one thing you can say about this, like, at least that one, the slightest silver lining in the whole thing was that Dimebag did die doing what he loves.
Yeah.
And how many metal guitarists get to, you know.
And he was, I mean, he was probably really happy
but
and, like,
obviously,
great.
That's not even, that doesn't even matter. Yes, but.
No, but, it, yeah, it doesn't take away from how horrible it is. But I guess if you had to pick, like, if someone said to you, like, all right, you have to pick the thing you're doing, like, can you die, like, the very last thing you do.
I mean, he walked out, the crowd, that roar of the crowd when you get up on the stage, and, like, you walk up to the front, you start shredding, wee, 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 and then that's it forever, you know?
That's it.
God damn. Yeah, that was sad. That's one of those things, like, I remember I was making pizzas at the pizza place in Effingham, fucking New Hampshire, buddy.
Being the pizza
man.
Yeah,
I was the pizza man. And then I found that out that night, you know?
That was a big deal. It continues to be a big deal.
It still is, you know, even all these years later. And
theory, he lives on.
He sure does.
Like, through, you know, like, people like that never actually die.
No.
Your body does, but your spirit kind of, like, lives on through.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And, like, have you ever watched the Behind the Music? The Pantera Behind the Music.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Remember when it gets to all this part, there's video of all this going down that's, I don't think, ever been released. I don't even want to see
parts of it.
Yeah, parts of it.
But not.
But what they show the cop walk across the stage with a shotgun drawn, and then they cut out, obviously, when he shoots the guy. But then the next clip is the cop just standing there in fucking utter shock and disbelief. And, like, one of the crew guys of the band is, like, walks over and he's like, you did what you had to do, brother.
Yeah, it's, like, not unnerving. Like, what the video that they're, like, that you could have people can see.
Yeah, it's just just a pile of people on the side of the stage. And it's, that one guy talks about how he was just holding the gunman and he was just getting shot, like, over and over, like, in the stomach. He got shot, like, 3 times or something.
I can't imagine, like, also, there's something. I think about stuff like this a lot because I have a morbid brain, but I always think about how at, like, any second you could go from having, like, the best day of your life to having the absolute worst day of your life. And I feel like everybody in that space, that's, like, what, like, you go from such a high of, like, you're having a good time, you're super psyched, like, you're going to see music, and obviously you're there because you love the music, and then it just turns into just, like, chaos and tragedy and, like, fear and all of that. Like, to be in the crowd for that is probably, I don't know. Like,
It's probably everyone who was there's worst day of their life.
Yeah.
Unless, I mean, I don't know, some other bad shit could happen. But if you're in a room when Dimebag Darrell got shot, that's a bad night.
I think about that, like, every time I go somewhere where I'm, like, having a good time, I always, in my brain, I'm like, this could turn bad. Like, for whatever reason, whether it be somebody decides to, like, go crazy or just, like, something personal happens in your life.
Yeah.
Like, I think about that stuff. I'm trying to shift that thinking. But
huh?
I'm trying to shift that thinking.
Oh, no, man. When I go out to these places, I always keep my eye on all the exits and everything.
Oh, yeah. No, you just...
Fuck. You gotta be prepared.
Our, like, generation has had to live through a lot of this kind of thing of, like...
Yeah, we've seen all sorts of shit. And we, like, grew up with it. It's not like some older people have seen the same stuff, but they're, like, chilling. Like, we watch it on the news one day... shootings at a concert, and then we're at, like, a concert in a similar size club, like, a couple months later, and you're, like, looking over your shoulder, like,
Or, like, a school shooting.
Or we're in high school when high school shootings start popping off.
Yeah, so we're, like, I feel like we have that, like, hyper sense of awareness. I mean, and I hate to say it, but, like, every time I'm at a show, or even, like, a movie theater, or a big store, and you see... someone that fits that, like, the stereotype profile, like, and they're alone, and they have, like, a backpack on, you do subconsciously feel a little, not,
no. I think you just described me. No. Did people think I'm gonna shoot up the grocery store when I'm in there?
No, because you don't have the vibe.
Yeah, I hope I don't.
There's definitely, like, a vibe that is, that... I mean, the media has kind of made you feel, even though, like, you know, that's not always, like, the thing. Like, people who have this certain aesthetic to them. Yeah. But you do feel a little hyper aware of, anytime I'm at a show and I see someone with a backpack that's clearly, like, full, I do feel a little uncomfortable.
Whoa. Could be a suicide bomb.
Well, it's just what we've had to, like, grow up with.
Yeah.
Is that
we're
kind
suspicious.
Of,
it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, we're on top of things.
It's still, like, it's so unnerving. Like,
and I will mention, I was very grateful that in probably maybe the only trip to Texas I'll ever take in my life, I actually managed to make it over to pay my respects at the Abbott Brothers' graves.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so that was cool. That was a nice day. I actually went over with my dad, and we listened to a bunch of Pantera on the way over. And
didn't you, like, you drove pretty far. Far, right?
It was like 40 minutes.
Well, I mean, New Hampshire, that's not far, but for other people,
Texas area, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, we drove. It was about 40, maybe 45-minute drive out from where my dad was living at the time, and we went out and hung out there for a little while. I had a couple beers and smoked, had a little weed cake.
Hopefully not from a stranger.
The poison weed cake. And, now we got something for you folks. We have a world premiere.
Ooh.
A fucking brand goddamn new The Slow Death of Gaia song. This is the only place you're going to hear this song for a little while, at least, until it's released on streaming and as part of a split we're doing with New Hell. For those of you who don't know, Slow Death of Gaia is the band I sing for. Since it's my fucking podcast, I'm like, yo, I'm a drop.
Shameless. Self-promotion.
Oh, there's so much shame. It's shameful. But you know what? I'm doing it anyway. This is the tune called The Outskirts. It's going to be on that, like I said, on a split with New Hell. Check out New Hell. We played them way back. But when the split is more closer to ready to coming out, I will be playing a song by each band from the split. So you'll hear another new Slow Death of Gaia song at that point in time. But right now we're going to bust this one out. We just got the mixes for this one back today, and I'm very excited about it.
Way new.
The mix might get a little tweaked between this version and what you end up finally hearing, but this is pretty close to what I think we're going to be putting out. It's a lot of fun, wild-ass tune. It's called The Outskirts. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back. We have one more concert story, and then we're going to wrap this one up, and we'll be back with another whole round of them again next week. All right, but here it is, The Slow Death of Gaia. The Outskirts. New shit, world premiere. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your preacher, tell your fucking gerbil. All right. Slow Death of Gaia.
Yeah.
Was that a creepy little tune?
It was creepy.
I like that tune. I'm a fan. I can't fucking wait to play a show. Listen, here's what happened. I might have talked about this before, but I don't know. I don't know who's listening. Is anyone listening? Is anybody out there? Is that a song? Is that like a Mary Poppins song? Spoonful of cocaine. Anyway, listen. Slow Death of Gaia started in the beginning of last year. We're on a fucking tear. And then all of a sudden the world stopped happening.
Yeah, you only had like a few months before everything kind of shattered.
And then we didn't get to play any shows. But our we got everything crossed that we're playing a show hopefully in September. So everything.
We'll see.
But it would be nice.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if we played a fucking show?
I would like to be there as, like, a people.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, not every time you play a show, the crowd wants to move around. But I feel like, especially in the first few shows back after the COVID, you better be moving around at a show. And I feel like that song, the end of that song, the motherfuckers will be moving around. I'll be up there going, yeah. People better be kicking each other in the face. And if you don't want to, that's fine. I'm still going to yell. I'm still going to yell like a wounded owl falling to the ground. What kind of animal do I sound like when I do that? A gazelle. A wounded gazelle.
Oh. Is it rabbits that like scream?
I could, yeah. And I'm all bouncing around too on stage, so I am like a wounded rabbit. Our cat is just attacking...
I don't know what she's doing.
Attacking the house.
Yeah, she's all over the place right now. She said,
fuck your house.
You can just hear her behind the wall just leaping up and down.
Yep. Yeah. So we have just one more this is a short one. One more little story for this episode. We'll be back next week or a little bit more of the, some more of the more well-known situations. And I'll mention a couple of them briefly at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I think I bet I know one you're doing.
What? Guess. Give me the guess.
The Rhode Island one, right?
I am.
Yeah, because that's a huge, huge one.
Yes, that was one that was, we're going to cover the station fire in Warwick, Rhode Island. And that will be like a big chunk of the episode because I want to do that right.
Yeah.
And, that was part of this episode and I scrapped it at the last minute because I didn't have everything I needed to do it. And I want to do that one right because that's very close to home and
yeah.
I just want to make sure we get it right. So, not a part of this episode. That'll be on next week. So we got some other stuff. We'll be going to Paris. We'll be going to Vegas.
Oh.
We'll be going to Prague. All right, that one was via Jeremy from Slow Death of Gaia and Taxi Cab Dismemberment and The Idiot Flesh. And other things. I don't know. He's like a professional drummer now. Jeremy, what the fuck? Go check out Jay Grind all over the place. He's big. He's big time. Anyway, he suggested a story to me. Nice. I told him what the topic was, and he was like, well, what about this story? And I was like, well, fucking good idea, Jeremy.
Well, I'm excited to hear it.
Yes.
I am going in blind.
Yes. Oh, we'll also be talking about The Who.
Ooh.
Who are you? Ooh, 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 ooh. I really won't know. Does he say fuck a bunch in that song? Or once or so?
I don't know.
Who the fuck are you? Pretty sure.
I don't think I've ever paid enough attention.
I think that dude gets all. He really wants to know.
Yeah, he does really want to know.
Who was it? Do we ever find out who it was anyway? Anyway, you ready to go to Bangkok?
What? It was better the first time.
That's what you said. Hey. No, really? You ready to go to Bangkok?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right. So going to Thailand in 2009, but like exactly 2009. We're talking like 36 minutes into 2009.
Okay. I didn't know. I was like, what do you mean exactly?
Exactly 2009. Well, not exactly, I guess. But anyway, about 36 minutes into the year.
Okay.
In the early mornings of a new year. In the early morning of a New Year Eve. What the fuck is wrong with my face? I'm just going to talk like Tom Brokaw from now on. In the early morning of a New Year's Eve celebration.
I mean, I think that works better for you.
It does. Like, at the Santika Club in Bangkok.
A little too hard on them.
While celebrating New Year's Eve in Bangkok. All right. Anyway, folks. At the Santika Club in Bangkok, a band coincidentally named Burn was performing. A fire broke out in the club. The cause remains undetermined, with some claims being that the singer of the band lit fireworks from the stage, and others pointing to a fire that likely started on the roof or in the ceiling. And it was like New Year's, so they think some people say fireworks might have been getting lit off on the roof.
Yeah.
Also, there were people using like little sparklers inside at midnight.
So it could have just been anything.
So something think it could have. They think something was smoldering, and then boom, you know.
You gotta watch out for the smoldering.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the silent killer.
Yeah, the silent smolder, Agent Smolder.
Bringing it around.
You need him to kick in a door, but you gotta be careful when you kick in the door in a smoldering fire, because then it just eats the oxygen and you that is between it and the oxygen.
I mean, side note, we had a house that my dad was renting out, like he was the landlord, and it caught on fire in the kitchen, and the kitchen was in the back, and they went out the front, and when they opened the door, it like pulled the fire straight through the house, completely gutted it. It was so wild.
Yeah, that's crazy shit.
You could see, too, like the raging path that the fire took.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever like walked through a burnt out house though.
Oh man.
Yeah.
About 1,000 people were packed into the club that night, but unfortunately 66 of them did not make it out alive, and another 222 were sent to nearby hospitals to treat injuries. The club owner was jailed for 3 years due to, once again, emergency exits not being cleared and one locked to prevent robbery. Damn.
What? Like.
But how fuck. That's just really eerie that the band's name was Burned.
Yeah, there seems to be some themes here about.
People burned.
You could write a lot of that. It's like.
66 people burned to death in Bangkok during a performance of a band called Burn.
I hate the idea of
Bangkok.
People burning to death.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Jesus Christ.
When I was little, that was
sorry,
like,
I gotta talk like Tom Brokaw to get myself through these moments, okay? It's not funny.
It isn't, no.
It really isn't. But hey, look on the bright side of life.
Okay, that song was stuck in my head for like 3 days, and I didn't say anything. And now you're gonna sing it.
Yeah. Because I'm depressed now after talking about all these people dying at concerts. So we're gonna go.
It's tragic, but I just binged so much like murder today that I feel very desensitized.
You're a nut. This lady over here.
I
work on these episodes and they bum me out, and I'm like, why do I even cover this sad stuff? And then she's just like, pussy. I watch 18 hours of dead 9-year-olds. Fuck. Dime bag my foot.
It does make me sad. I know it's sad. That's not lost on me. I just am a little desensitized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only one thing has pushed me over the edge.
Were you Linkin Parking it? One step closer to the edge. And I'm about to break. Remember what? Linkin Park. That was Linkin Park, right?
I don't know.
Yes, that was Linkin Park. I'll mansplain it to you. You can mansplain it to me if you want, but I don't know.
mean, I'm not, like, well-versed on
Yeah, I don't either. That's the only one I know. Well, maybe I know, like, one more. I don't know. I don't know a lot of their music, but I know that that's their song. That was their, like, first big song. One step goes into the edge. And I'm about to break.
I don't know.
One step goes into the edge. That's all I got. I'm in a loop. My brain stuck in a loop. And I'm about to break.
We're clearly exhausted.
That dude ended up breaking pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more sad.
I'm always more
Let's
sad.
Let's get out of here. Let's go watch Happy. I just want to watch, like, Looney Tunes or something. Watch a cat and a mouse just chase each other. While bonking each other on the head with hammers.
It's interesting to watch you deep dive into these things, because, like, a year ago, you were just like, don't even speak to me about any of these things. Like, I'd be like, oh man, I just watched this, and you were like, no. Don't even, I'll be up all night feeling sad. Please don't. And now you're like, you're entering the world.
I do this for the edutainment of my listeners.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of my listeners. Thank you for listening. I'm proud of you. I'm patting you
and
on the back.
And if you've gotten this far, thank you.
I'm gonna make Devolution Podcast hats with a little hand that claps you on the back as you walk so that you can be proud of yourself for listening. Because your arm will get tired for all the patting yourself on the back you do of this ground-baking cultural extravaganza that is the Devolution Podcast. You're riding the wave of a movement, man. I mean, it might be a bowel movement, but it might be like, this might be something cool. This could be bigger than any of us, man. Did I mention that I'm tired? All right, we're gonna do the plugs, the weekly plugs. Check me out on Instagram and Facebook, the Devolution Podcast. Follow it wherever you're listening right now. Hit the little follow button. Turn on the notifications. You'll find out when we put out new episodes. Check out the Sean Winters Podcast and Kate vs. Kate. All three of us are part of the Square Hamburger Production Podcast Network. Also, Clarissa and I just started up our spinoff show, What We've Been Watching. The first episode of that is out now. Those will just come out on the Devolution Podcast, like, channel. Once a month. For right now, they might take the place of an episode for us, just because I'm trying to slow down the pace a little bit, because I would very nicely like to hit 50 episodes for my one-year anniversary show. I think that's nice. A little 50 episodes in the first year.
Feels good, rounded out.
And during the first few months, I put out episodes kind of rapidly, like one or two a week for a little while. So I'm a little ahead of that schedule, so I am trying to slow it down a little bit. So there will be some breaks, but I will try to fill in those breaks with episodes of What We've Been Watching.
And it feels like a nice little, like, palate cleanser.
Yeah.
It's just like a little fun, like, whatever, mindless.
Yeah.
I need to start watching some new things so I have something else to talk about next
week. We've got stuff to talk about. I'll just give
you Yeah, we do, but on my own, I'm still watching the same stuff.
Well, you can bring us up to speed.
Yeah, I can talk about more murder.
I watched Run. That was cool.
Yeah, you did.
I'll have to remember that to talk about. It was only 7 short episodes, but it was really cool. All right, anyway. We're out of here. We got one more plug. Make sure to check out the Punky's mixtape.
This is all a mess. This is such a mess.
We're out of here. Wait a minute. No, we're not. The Punky's mixtape network on Twitch. He's got all sorts of shit going on over there. Go check that out. We have a listener of the week this week, someone very special. We would like to thank every week a different listener of the week. This week, it is someone named Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Thanks for listening, dude. Follow the playlist. That's the Devolution Podcast Tunes. That is a playlist on Spotify, like we mentioned earlier. It features a ton of music that we've played on the podcast.
And there's a little so something far. For everybody.
A wee bit of something for everybody.
What was, it was that?
That was my accent, my universal accent.
You're awful.
And, I would like to thank also everyone, all of our listeners, you wonderful people, for finding the absolute worst bit. I ever prepared for the show, you all thought it was the funniest thing I ever did or something. Or I at least got the most comments about it. I got more comments about the Fellatio's Pizzeria than anything since the very first episode where my mom was yelling about fucking bitches.
That's timeless.
That is timeless gold. My mom yelling is timeless gold. Yeah. The Fellatio's Pizzeria was a throwaway joke that I more or less said just to try to be silly towards Clarissa. And just to try to annoy her. And everyone thought it was the funniest shit we'd said on here in forever. So No, your reaction played into a lot of the comments.
See, you never told me that.
Several people said they could hear your eyes rolling.
Yes.
So you guys are the best. Thanks.
You guys are the best.
I'll try to write more stupid ass bits.
All seven of them.
I try to make them too smart. Yeah. All right, so now we have one more tune before we get out of here. We have another member of the Repeat Offenders Club. We played this band back on the very first third episode we did. What? So it was the first time we did a third episode. They were on that one.
All right.
This is the first 38th episode that we're recording right now.
I can't believe it.
Is that fucked up? How it works? This is Fort! You have to yell their name. It's a rule. Fort! It's all capitals.
You do realize that it's
12:30. Yeah, but in England, where the band's from, it's probably only like whatever time it is in England right now. It's early or
it's
late
early
enough.
It's early morning, right?
Yeah, so wake up your neighbors if you're in England by yelling, Fort! Really loud. Listen to this band, everyone, wherever you are, worldwide. This is their newest single. It's available on Spotify. Go check it out. You can pick up a vinyl of their new EP that's coming out soon. That's available on Bandcamp. Go pick that up. Can't wait to hear more stuff from this band. I've been waiting since that song came out when we did the first third episode. And I've been dying to hear new music from them. They finally just put it out. And I was like, yo, can I play this song? And they were like, yeah, of course, dude. And I was like, well, thank you. Thank you kindly. Yeah,
thank you for that.
Yes. So here it is, Fort, with their new song, Aponia. We're out of here.
See ya.
See you all next week with another episode of Depressing Concert Tragedies. Adios.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, sickle.